You may be seated. If you have a Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Boy, we have a lot to thank God for today. And the verses are endless. Thanks be unto God for His amazing gift, for His everlasting gift, for His unspeakable gift. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 15, and we'll just read one verse. Thank the Lord for the Bible today, and we'll, amen. It'll show us our need of enjoying God, being thankful to God, but this is one verse I picked out, verse 16, Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Boy, what a blessing. To be able to hear the Bible, read the Bible, memorize the Bible, and call it to mind, and what it does for our souls. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And let's bow our heads again and ask God's blessing. Father, we love you. Thank you for the gift of your Son. And Father, I pray that your word would be powerful and give joy and strength to all that hear today. We pray that you'll be glorified in our response, and thank you in advance for what you're going to do here. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God's words. That's the foundation that we're going to look at of the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said that, you know. The Bible tells us over in the New Testament, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke everything into existence. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that, of course, is our Savior. So many verses. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Seven times in the book of Revelation, when it's talking about the seven churches, it said, let us hear what the Spirit has to say. So it's not just the voice of a man, it's the Word of God. If you have a Bible in your lap today, what a blessing that is. That is God's Word, amen? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. We're clean through the Word that's spoken unto us. And etc. I could do that all day. But anyway, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. This is Psalm 119. There's 176 verses in Psalm 119. And they're all about the Word of God. Every one of the verses. Sometimes it's the words, sometimes it's precepts, commandments, law, testimonies, judgments. But every verse has to do with the Bible, has to do with the Word of God. In Psalm 12 and verse 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth. And it goes on in the next verse, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So we are not without the Scriptures. Amen. We have the very Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. This is the Word of God. These are the words of God. Isn't that fascinating? You know, and you don't have to come to church to hear the Word of God or to read the words of God. You can memorize it so when you're driving down the road, you don't have a Bible in this hand and you're doing this, amen? You memorize it, and it's a blessing to do that. But the very words of God. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's how things are communicated to us. That's how we form our beliefs, by what is spoken. In James chapter 3, a lot of that chapter is about the tongue, and the Bible says the tongue is set on fire of hell, and no man can tame it. And so that's where God comes in. Amen. Evil communications corrupt good manners. But the Word of God is the pure Word of God, and it tells us what the truth is. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul told the Romans, let God be true, but every man a liar. So God's always right. Amen? So if you want to know something, we just go and we get our wisdom from the Bible. John 8:44. This is my introduction. My introduction for visitors is about 2 hours, and then it's a real short sermon. Amen? John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. This is the Lord speaking. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Sometimes he comes as a roaring lion. It's easy to spot the devil like that. But sometimes he comes as an angel of light, and that's hard. And so you don't know what truth is unless we go to the scriptures. In John 17:17, thy word is truth. A little later on in the book of John, the Spirit will guide us into all truth. That's why you need the Spirit of God to help you understand the Bible and to guide you through it. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error are both in the Bible described. Words that bring life and words that bring death. In 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world and then speaking lies. So you need the truth. That's how you try the spirits, if it goes along with the word of God. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, after vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and not after Christ. You can be spoiled by listening to the wrong thing. Amen? It's good to know the truth. The word is how we communicate. Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. Every man had them heard them speak in his own language. There was a miracle at Pentecost. And so the gospel was going forth in the city of Jerusalem, and there were people from all over. And they had different nationalities. They had different languages. And God gave the miracle that they heard the gospel in their own language. What a blessing that was. Amen. I think that's important. Parlez-vous français? Okay, that's pretty easy. How about this one? Merci et bonne soirée. Anybody know that one? I know you know. Yes. Boy, it's close. That's close. Thank you and have a nice evening. Merci is thank you. How about je ne sais pas? No? No, that's comment allez-vous. Yeah, comment allez-vous is how it. My toe hurts? No, it's not that one either. Je ne sais pas is I don't know. That's one you memorize first. See, then you can go over there and je ne sais pas. I don't know anything. But if you don't know that language, you can't be instructed. Amen. You can't be comforted. You cannot give direction or get direction because you don't know the language. There is the word of God for us, amen, that directs us. I heard a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And all the verses that has to do with that. So we come to the Bible. They are the words of God. Amen? The words of God. That is just such a fascinating thing. That's how God speaks to us. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, well, let me back up a little. In the book of Corinthians, the Bible says, the God of all comfort, who's able to comfort us in all our trials, all our tribulation. And then we're able to comfort people with the comfort wherewith we were comforted of God. So God does something for us, amen, and then we can share that with other people. There's another verse that says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that's what we're to do as believers. We're to learn the word, see it work in our own lives, and try and help people have that road to walk on. We strengthen one another with God's words. We're strengthened with might in the inner man, the Bible tells us. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 19, when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. We get our strength from the Bible. May we be kind one to another. Amen. tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. His gentleness hath made us great. And all of the verses that go on, he's kind to us, we're kind to other people. That's good, amen? How awful that would be if God's so good to you and you're rough with other people, amen? Because God's certainly been good to us. We have in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What comes out here is in here. And, you know, bitter people speak bitterly, you know. Troubled people trouble people. And all of those sayings. You can use your words for good or evil. It depends on what's in your heart. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and boy, what a great church that was. And so many things there, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I don't know what you've gotten yet from this morning's message. Your prayers are not being answered. I'm not almost done. Amen. I'll give you a lot more message here. But I mean, somewhere in that 15 minutes or however long it's been, God has spoken. Actually, he's spoken for the whole time. Amen. All these verses, all of these truths that God wants to share with us, for what reason? To comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us. Amen. To help us. And then when we leave this place, to be a blessing to somebody else. That's why the word is given, to help us and to help other people and to guide us to salvation. There are people that don't know how to be saved. And so we come to the Bible. Christ, the Savior, died for our sins. He paid our penalty. And if we come to him and ask him for salvation, he gladly gives us salvation. What a blessing that is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Another truth in the scripture. I like this verse. It really puts this into perspective. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye, Paul is writing to the church, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Like when we're around people, it's like them reading a book. And the psalmist said, my life is like a tale that is told. That's an interesting verse. And this one, people are reading our lives. Amen. And our faith is so important to us, but to live that faith so that other people can be helped by that. So it's just like a living Bible. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edification, building up. Where do you use sharpness? Not for destruction, but for edification. Sometimes there are very sharp things said in the scripture. We don't use that Bible to cut somebody up. Amen. Malchus was the high priest servant, and they came out to take the Lord. Remember, Peter was going to fight all everybody off, and he took a sword out, and he cut Malchus's ear off. And what did Jesus do? He healed the ear and put it back on it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can take the Bible and you can just whittle somebody. You know, you can really attack, and that discredits the Lord, because he wanted them to hear. Even your harshest enemy needs to be saved. Amen. And God can use us to do that. In I said corrupt communication. David said in Psalm 39:1, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. That I sin not with my tongue. In another place, you know, there's so many verses about the tongue that we have to be careful. Set a watch over my mouth, Lord, and he'll help us to do that. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God. 1 Peter 4:15, a busybody in other men's matters. The town gossip, a busybody. There's some people you don't want to tell what you're telling them. Amen. If they talk to you about somebody else, they'll talk to somebody else about you. That's just an old saying that is probably proven true. But a busybody, that's in the scripture, and there's a lot of examples of that. There was a young man, and he had an older mentor down the street, and he got in trouble. He said something about somebody, and he regretted it. He was convicted about it, and he thought, man, I better go get some advice on this. So he went down to the older gentleman, and he said, I said something. This is what I did. What do I do? And the old-timer says, you go get a sack of feathers and take a feather and put it on every doorstep in town and then come back and see me. And so he did that. He got all these feathers he put on the doorsteps, came back. He says, now what? And the fellow said, go back and collect them all. And so he went to collect them all, and he said, man, this is impossible. And it is. Once it's out there, once you say something out there, it's like feathers in the wind, and they're gone from where you put them. Amen? And it just goes on and on and on. There were comics about this. Little Abner comic. I think his wife, not his wife, there was another lady, and they would always get together at the fence, and they would share everybody's information. Amen? That's not a real good thing to do. Did you hear? In Genesis chapter 27, it's interesting. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Rebekah, who was Jacob's mother, told him how to deceive his father, Isaac. And the Bible says there, now therefore, my son, obey my voice. And she told him how to do it. So he deceived his father. His brother Esau wanted to kill him. And so the deed has been done, and the results are there. And she says the exact same words after the deception. She said, now therefore, my son, obey my voice. And she sends him away so his life would be spared. And that was bad advice the first time. It was bad advice the second time. And if it would have been three times, it would have been bad advice the third time. But God intervened. Amen. Thank God that he does intervene. But we have to be careful about the advice that we give people. Proverbs 6:19. I'm going to turn and read there. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this real quickly. But the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's not a good thing. Amen. We want to help each other. We want us to be in one accord, not discord. And God allows us to do that. Psalm 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's not sowing discord. That is sowing the word of God. But I want to look today. That's my introduction. Amen. Two amens. Come on, we got visitors. Amen. Okay, that was worse. Finally, my brethren, this is Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And these are the things that we're supposed to think on. In Corinthians, the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so we cast down imaginations, and we bring our minds into submission to the Word of God. And that helps us. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think on these things. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And here's the last one. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we're thinking about something, right? And here it comes out. Amen. So it could be something really profitable and something good for people. Evil surmisings lead to evil speaking. A bitter mind leads to bitter words. Surmising is suspecting or imagining upon slight evidence. It's a diabolical thing. It's not hard, fast evidence, but it's just an evil surmising. 1 Corinthians 13, which is a chapter on charity, love in action, says, thinketh no evil. Well, that's a good thing. Think the best of people. somebody comes in and they're a little out of sorts, they had a bad day. Say, well, they come in every Sunday like that. Maybe they have a bad month. Amen? Maybe they've had a bad year. Pray for them and try and be kind, because your kindness can help. A soft answer turneth away wrath. In Proverbs, it likens building a fire, throwing wood on the fire. You don't want to do that, because there's enough of that going on. Amen? Love one another with a pure heart fervently. All the verses. Let's focus today our hearts on the Thanksgiving season. Thanksgiving. How many of you wanted to say something, but you didn't because you just didn't want to say anything? Anybody like that? One? Okay, that's good. That's a little better. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Boy, that's meaty. Amen. That's weighty. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And then this verse. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. This glorious thought, something that we think about because it's so wonderful. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I love this quote. It's by Bob Jones Sr. But it says, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Of course, the opposite certainly would be true. There was a man by the name of Lessing, and he wrote this: a grateful thought toward heaven is of itself a prayer, because God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Amen? And when we say something thankful and gracious to the Lord, it's like sending him prayers. That is such a blessing. But thoughts turn into words, don't they? So if your thoughts are good, your words could be good. That would be a blessing, would it not? No amens to that either. Okay. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I believe it, so I'm going to speak it. So we're going to be what we need to be. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Take the words, and God will do something for us, and we will render unto him the calves of our lips. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals. Amen? But God's telling us here to sacrifice by what we say. It's not the sacrifices under the law. It's the sacrifices now that grace has produced in our life. Has God been good to you? He's been so good. And so we thank him, don't we? We enter into his gates with praise, or thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's how we come to church. Man, I get to hear the word of the Lord. I get to hear the Bible. I get to see and feel the Spirit of God. I get to sing. I get to pray. All of those things, because it's such a wonderful thing for us. Psalm 69 and verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving, the giving of thanks. Psalm 69, verse 31, this also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. That's what pleases the Lord. So when you're singing and making up your song while you're driving the car, boy, I've got some great songs. I'm thinking about having them published. And I'm really kidding. But, I mean, you can just sing, you know. And when my wife and I start to sing, it's kind of funny because we'll get the words mixed up. But you can be by yourself singing to the Lord. That's a good thing. And it pleases the Lord. Romans chapter 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus, he did always those things that please the Lord. Jesus, he had the Spirit without measure. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen. All of these wonderful truths, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So think on these things. And then it'll just automatically come out. You'll enjoy your fellowship. our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we get together, we start talking about the Bible, the goodness of God, amen, not the next door neighbor whose big dog keeps coming into your yard and leaving little treats, you know. You really have to have spiritual strength to get over that one. Let me read this verse too. This is Hebrews 13:15. By faith, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's hard to offer that. And we'll see that in just a minute. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto the Lord. The calves of our lips, the fruit of our lips, like the sacrifice. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes the road is rough. Sometimes the load's pretty heavy. Sometimes it's tribulation, trials, trouble. But God has a purpose in everything, does He not? Maybe somebody's going to see your faith, or that's going to help you to bear witness with another person and their heartaches. We have another verse. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That could be a greater sacrifice than singing, than having an easy life. Sometimes people go through a lot for the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground. I want you to notice that, the fruit of the ground. That was his offering. Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the fruit of our lips. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit and all of those things that we talked about needs to be sacrificed to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:15, the thanksgiving of many redound or result to the glory of God. The thanksgiving of many. And when people get together and they're one accord and one heart and one mind and one goal is to glorify God, amen, then you just sing with your heart. Doesn't matter if you're off key, amen. Doesn't matter if your voice is not that good. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, amen. So we all get together and we're just so in tune to what God is trying to do in our life. And why is the preacher preaching this message today? Well, when we go home or get with family, and who knows what's going to happen during Thanksgiving, the opportunities we'll have, amen, to respond in a good way to a burnt turkey. You know, life is really tough, is it not? Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. And I think heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And that's what we're going to be doing there. We're going to be praising Him forever and forever. So we get to practice now. Amen? Amen? Let me read just a few more verses and we'll be done. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Amen? That one verse is worth coming to church for. And you just read it and let it become a part of your life, and it will transform. It really will transform you, because the filling of the Spirit does that. And then it will help you help so many people. John Miller wrote this: how happy a person is depends on the depth of his gratitude. But here's the kicker. There's two types of gratitude, two types of praise. There's one earthly joy. I got a job. I got a raise. I bought a new car. I'm healthy. And all of the different things in this life. And one, that's wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there's a spiritual joy too. when maybe we don't have a new car, maybe we're not healthy, and maybe we're just eking by. That's a sacrifice of praise when you can give that. Amen. But it's a spiritual joy. And when we have testimonies, a lot of time they are physical things, and that's good. But the best ones are the grace of God, the salvation of God, how God has led, how God has opened a door. Amen. Because that pleases Him. So this Thanksgiving, we have a lot to give thanks for. Amen. And the recipient of that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And even if He used another person to bring you the blessing, it was still Him. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Praise God. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love You. We love You, and I pray that You would increase that love. May today, as we leave this place, may our thoughts be pure and lovely and holy, pleasing to Thee. May we offer those thoughts and those prayers and that praise up to Thee as a sacrifice, Lord. Love You so much. If somebody's here and they've never accepted Christ, may this be the day that they believe He's the Son of God. They believe He's God in the flesh and that He died for their sins. And that He would greatly, gladly forgive them of all their sins and give them a home in heaven if they just call on Him. So simple. And fill us with Your Spirit, Lord. Give us grace and strength now. And may the Word be real in our hearts. May we think about it all day. May it change our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.